WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
A couple of years ago, when Frank Sinatra turned 80, his daughter Nancy put together a book commemorating the occasion called Frank Sinatra, an American Legend. We spoke then about her father. Her book came with a CD that included Sinatra's first radio appearance. It was on the Major Bowes Amateur Show in 1935. Sinatra had auditioned as a solo act, but he was teamed up with a vocal trio, which he resented. The group was given the name the Hoboken Four. Here's how they sounded.
Shine and sway your blues, why don't you shine, start with your shoes, shine each place up, make it look like new,
boom, 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 boom.
Shine your face up, I want to see you wear a smile as you, oh shine, your D's and those's, you'll find everything turn out right fine, folks will shine up to you, everybody's going to hide you, do you, you'll make the whole world. Chocolate drops, let me hear you. Folks, we'll shine up to you. Everybody's gonna hide you, dear. You'll make the whole world shine.
Shine and sway your bluesy.
Ah.
Shine, start with your shoesy.
Ah.
You'll make the whole world shine.
Was Frank Sinatra's first radio appearance. Did your father talk with you much about those early days when he was trying to find himself professionally?
He talked a lot about his family in those days. How disappointed they were that he didn't stay in school. He told me a lot about his early jobs, washing dishes, just anything to scrounge up a few pennies. Now, he hates pennies so much, he doesn't even look at them. He ignores them. He puts them away in a jar, gets rid of them immediately.
I want to play another recording of his last broadcast with the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra when he's introducing his replacement, Dick Hames. This was recorded in 1942. Let's listen to it.
Folks, this is Frank Sinatra's farewell broadcast with his band. After tonight, he's going to be strictly on his own. And, Frank, I want to tell you that everyone in the band wishes you the best of luck.
Thanks, Mac, and I'd like to say that I'm going to miss all you guys after kicking around for 3 years. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet the boy who's going to take my place as the vocalist with Tommy in the band. He's a fine guy, a wonderful singer, and he was good enough for Harry James and Benny Goodman, and that's really saying plenty. Folks, I'd like you to meet Dick Hames.
Well, Frank, I don't know if anyone can really take your place with this band, but I'm going to be in there trying. You can bet on that. As for you, well, I know that you'll be knocking them dead on your own hook.
So, thanks,
well,
Dick.
I agree with you there, Dick, and thanks a lot, Dick Hames. Frank, before you hit the road, how about one more song just for Auld Lang Syne?
That's all right with me, Tom. Give me the beat on our arrangement of the song as you, and I'll see what I can do with it.
I hear music when I look at you, a beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew.
Back with Nancy Sinatra, the recording we just heard is featured on a CD that comes with her new book about her father. Did he talk to you much about this period of his life, leaving Tommy Dorsey, or what it was like to be with the big bands?
Yes, we really went into that in depth because a lot of the legend, the negative legend or myth about him has to do with his leaving Dorsey and how he managed to get out of that horrible contract.
What was so bad about the contract?
It was over a third of his income that was sort of held hostage by Tommy Dorsey for the rest of Frank's life, which I thought was just horrendous. And it was handled by, the breaking of the contract was handled by the top agents and lawyers in the business in New York. And but the myth was that mafia people. I don't even know who they were supposedly. But the myth was that these people went to Tommy Dorsey and made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Mario Puzo told me that he made up that line in The Godfather, that he'd never heard that about my dad or connected with my dad. But now, of course, everybody thinks it's his. The Dorsey contract, according to my dad, was almost impossible to break. So he really had to get some very strong attorneys in there. And what they did was they reminded Tommy Dorsey that he liked broadcasting on NBC. And these people represented NBC. And they said, if you want to continue to work for NBC, you're going to have to let this guy go.
So what was the next step for your father after he left the Dorsey Orchestra?
Well, one of the legendary moments of his life. He went to the Paramount Theater alone, but working for, alone meaning not connected to an orchestra, but working for or with Benny Goodman and his orchestra. And it was total tumult. I mean, the theater just, the way it was described to me was it felt like the theater was just going to come down.
When you were 4 years old, your father, I think he recorded Nancy with a Laughing Face.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was a present for you for your fourth birthday? Is that?
Oh, I don't know if it was a present. An interesting, sweet sidelight of that is that Jimmy Van Heusen, when I turned 16, he wrote the music for the song. He gave me his rights, his ASCAP rights.
Really?
To the song when I turned 16. Isn't
what?
That dear?
that really is.
Isn't that adorable? I don't know if it was a gift for me when I was a little girl, but it certainly is a gift for me now. I love hearing it. Whenever I hear it, it brings a lump to my throat, you know. It's very sentimental.
Nancy Sinatra, recorded in 1995. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.